Today, it's Edwin's Monday Evening Property Rant. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Well, the end of the year is fast approaching, but we've still got time for one more Monday property rant. And I'm joined by Edwin Almeida.
Oh, g'day, Martin. How are you going?
Yeah, all right. I gather that you've had a frenetic time.
Yeah, look, it's the old saying goes, there's no rest for the wicked, and Dusty and Evan, they reckon I've been really, really wicked. So they got me building a fish pond now. They're preparing for 2022, Martin, which is, I give it to them. Now they got me building a fish pond. They love sardines. They love their tuna. So they've got me building a fish pond so that they can grow some sardines for supply crunch issues that we're having going to have in 2022.
Okay. Well, it's better than trying to plant sardine trees, I suppose.
Well, I was thinking about that. Maybe I thought if I plant a couple of cans, we might get some tuna on the tree or something like that. Each to their own, Martin. Now, in reality, there's a neighbour that's actually sold their property and they're going north. I think everybody seems to be going north. Must be for the weather because it's very cold here in the mountains at the moment. They've got about 60 koi in their fish pond, and we're going to babysit or koi sit for them if they ever decide to come back. So we decided to build a fish pond.
Sounds all very fishy to me. Very good. And this is really, really cold. Christmas Day wasn't bad, but it's gone back to the middle of winter. You know? I don't know what's happened to the seasons.
Oh, look, it's crazy, I think if it's an indication of what's going to happen in 2022, everything appears to be a little bit topsy-turvy at the moment. All sorts of shenanigans going on. And look, I wouldn't put it past anybody at the moment to say that 2022 is going to be a big year of con artists, more government deception. And everything's just going to be topsy turvy. It's crazy what's going on. I heard our government have bought something like 150 million doses of the jab. Did somebody tell them that there's only 28 million of us, Mark?
Well, it depends on how many jabs people are going to have to get, right? I mean, if you look at it, I think Israel is talking about the fourth jab, it'll be every few months. We'll just roll out for another one.
Yeah, well, look, and the thing is, Mike, all this, I know we talk about it, we skim through these topics and we skim through them very quickly because the nature of the controversy behind them. But, all this also has an effect on property prices. It will have an effect on property prices come 2022, particularly if we go into a serious lockdown, if there are more cases going to be, going to be reported. Although, thank God that this new variant hasn't seemed to have, we haven't seemed to have had a lot of major issues with it in terms of deaths. I think globally there's only about 14 deaths globally from this variant, which is which is a godsend in a sense. And does it mean that we're starting to walk out of this situation? And if we are, then it's going to give people a lot more hope so that they can also go and look for the properties where they're going to be either downsizing, retiring into. And because I think it's the downsizers and the retirees that have been sitting on the sideline waiting for a little bit more comfort and waiting for a little bit more confidence to buy before they sell. Because once they sell, then where do they go?
No, well, you're right. The surveys that we run highlights that it is the down traders, as I call them, that are the ones that are sitting there nervously wondering what to do, watching the acceleration of house prices ease off and wondering whether they should move or whether they shouldn't move. And it's a really important segment of the market because, in fact, there are more down traders than up traders, right? So in other words, there are more people potentially might sell and downshift. And that could have a very significant impact on the way that the market dynamics work.
Well, that's right. And this is what I say, although we skim over some of these topics, these are topics that obviously do have an impact, do have a or have had major impacts on the way that people have shifted and people have migrated out of Sydney. They've the sands have shifted and people have gone interstate. People from the south are coming up to the north, and the people from New South Wales are going further north, and so forth. Now, on top of that, we've got this issues as well with China and the the supply disruptions. More to the point, what's around the corner with regards to transport, with the and also with the fertilizer, urea, which is we import from China, but China basically said go get stuffed. We're not going to get out of it in the first quarter, and if it goes on to the second quarter, how are we going to cope? And again, we talk about it, these topics because it has an impact on transportation with regards to materials and people that are looking at renovating and or building new property. So obviously there are going to be transport issues, major issues around Australia from what I've been reading, from what I've been hearing, and with regards to AdBlue, the additive that's added to the to diesel in order for the engines to run a lot smoother or a lot cleaner. So we ourselves have had a bit of those supply chain issues, Martin, with Dusty and Evan, and shrinkflation has also hit our veggie patch, as I sent you the tweet of the tomato that we got.
No, I thought it was a very large hand.
No, I haven't been growing.
No. Something. I assume that's a lack of water.
No, look, I don't know what it is. It's these two bloody tomato plants that are in the middle of the veggie patch. It just the way it is. I've been fertilizing them, but look, with regards to the supply chain issues and the disruptions, we're not going to get out of it unscathed. We haven't even gone into the hardcore essence of what's really going to hit us. So it's going to be, a little bit alarming for those that are going to be looking at building. It's hard enough to finish renovations or do major renovations. So people are going to be cautious moving forward. So this is where, again, a lot of the retirees and the downsizers, the downtraders, as you call them, have been sitting on the sideline, also getting things ready and getting things prepared in order for them to maximize the potential sale of the property so that they can move on as well and downsize into something that's more comfortable, that's newer, and they don't have to be thinking about future renovations or major works done to their properties.
Well, perhaps we'll see people doing what is happening in China, right, with a lot of special purpose vehicles being set up and people, doing some financial engineering to be able to try and create more momentum around property. And it sounds like global financial crisis all over again.
Oh, look, it's crazy. It really, 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 really is crazy. Look, they've got issues themselves, as I've shared with you, that Xi'an City is on a major lockdown. One of the main cities that produce chips, and supply Samsung. They actually supply 15.3% of the world's supply with regards to chips, and they're locking down. It's interesting how they're locking down because of the new variant and the issues that they've got around the bug, but also they've also got the plague, Martin, and hence the reason people aren't confident and uncomfortable with investing in China. We know what's happening with their property market, with Evergrande and every other major developer there. People are just looking at as China basically decoupling from the West and pulling pulling their resources internally. They've got a couple of months to, as you say, put together special purpose vehicles, put together IPOs in order to basically keep the money overseas that they've already taken out of the country, so it won't be sent back and in a way confiscated by the government. But we also know that from the WeChat chatterers that they're also setting up trusts here in order to purchase secondary dwellings, which I've said for over 10 years, yeah, since early 2000s, where the when this was all instigated as to how foreigners can buy and participate in the purchase of secondary dwellings, because as you know, foreigners can't buy a secondary dwelling legally, but a company or a trust under a company can, and the government to either willfully stupid or willfully blind, and they don't want to they don't want to risk the collapse of the property market, and haven't wanted to risk the collapse of the property market, and just keep staking it. So that's it's all hell for leather because they don't want that money to go back to China once those two major trading companies are shut down by Xi and get called in. So I'd say by February, March, a lot of the people would have already have done what they had to do to in order to keep the money out from going back to China and buying real estate in Canada, America, and Australia, as well as New Zealand.
And I wonder what that will have in terms of the impact on numbers, because the listing numbers are quite interesting at the moment, aren't they?
Well, they are. We're actually finishing a lot more. A lot lower with regards to freestanding homes, and pretty much on par with regards to apartments. But the chatter that we've been hearing around the traps from a lot of the Asian agents that we work with, or we try to procure property through ourselves for our clients. They've had a lot of inquiry from these special purpose vehicles and companies that are being set up, or trusts that are being set up. Basically from overseas Chinese interest, not necessarily people that have got money in China, but people that have got money out of China, and they're looking at putting it somewhere. These are people that have got money in by way of shares in America or Canada, and they want to bring it over to Australia. So, if the numbers don't tick upwards, post the middle of January of 2022, it's potentially we could have another run in the freestanding homes with regards to prices, because obviously it's supply and demand, and there is a lot of demand for freestanding homes. But let me say this: it's really what it's done. It's put the local purchasers out of reach, and people with deep pockets and dodgy money. And funny money that are coming in from overseas that the governments are allowing to come in from overseas, and they're not doing all the due diligence to check and see what's going on, because they, like as I said, they're willfully stupid or willfully blind to these practices, and they're allowing these things to come in. And unfortunately, they are getting the locals are getting priced out of certain areas that are of great appetite for the Chinese, the Asian families.
Absolutely. Well, the money laundering and tax regulations relating to property in Australia are much weaker than many other countries. And in fact, the government should have implemented recommendations some time back, and they haven't done so. And there have been a whole bunch of reports, international reports and local reports, saying property market in Australia is supported by dodgy money and money laundering and all those things. And all the things you're just talking about says, well, no government wants to turn that off, because without it, of course, the property market would be in a rather different shape.
Well, that's exactly right. And we go back to 2013, where the foreign investment regulations were basically diluted in order for developers to sell entire complexes, and that's where it all started, because state governments, federal and local governments, just became punch drunk on the levies and the stamp duties and all other forms of taxes that they were raking in from overseas interests, and it really started to put the locals from out of reach with property. So look, I don't see any interest. So 2022 is only going to get more. It's only going to get funnier by way of the government policies, by way of what they're mandating, How they're controlling the narrative, how they're controlling this the bug, the narrative around the bug, the mandates around the bug, in order to in their best interests, but not quite frankly, not in the best interest of the constituents or the the local population, us, the taxpayers. It's going to be a as I said, 2021 was going to be difficult, but 2022 was really going to be where everything was going to get a lot harder for a lot more people, and I'm not seeing it any different, Martin.
No, well, never fear, Edwin, because there's $16 billion in the MIEFO budget from the federal government, which they've planned but not actually announced yet, right? So there's going to be a whole bunch of money being thrown back at the economy ahead of the election or around the election or whatever. I would be very surprised if none of that went into the property sector. You know, if you look at track record, they've thrown billions and billions into the property sector over the last two or three years, driven prices a lot higher, made it a lot harder for people to get into the markets. But they're going to do more of the same because, of course, the last thing they want to see is property prices go the other way, right? Because, you know, you don't want to go into an election with property prices falling and the wealth effect going into reverse. So I'm pretty sure that they will be throwing some more elastoplast and string to try and keep those property prices up, at least until the election, which, what, May time? So watch this space.
Yeah, look, it is. It's going to be very interesting. And talking about interesting numbers and shenanigans with property, what's with Victoria? last year there was one auction over the Christmas weekend, and that was a property in Victoria. And this year, once again, there's one auction in Victoria, and lo and behold, we're calling that the auction clearance rates for nationally, according to those numbers that I posted, that I sent to you, Martin, is zero. But then again, the doc domain and all the other pundits were going to come in with anywhere between 70% and 80%. Although there was one auction held over the Christmas weekend, in all of Australia.
What do you mean? You can't take as gospel those auction clearance rates that come out every week with Hans Christian Andersen signed at the bottom?
Look, it is interesting though. I mean, when I did a screenshot of that last earlier in the week, I was gobsmacked because it coincided with last year. But you got to give it to the Victorians. They always want to be different. They just always want to be different. There's something about the Victorians that they want to be. They just want to be out there. And can it get any more interesting?
Yeah, well, that's because, of course, there are more and more people leaving Victoria to go to anywhere else, right, particularly Queensland. I was talking to a Queenslander the other day who's sick and tired of all these Victorians coming and buying property and basically migrating like you wouldn't believe with the changes in the borders. He says there's a lot more to come as well. It's interesting. So maybe Victoria is going to see a population reversal over the next year or so.
Well, it's closer to the 60,000 now or so. I mean, the numbers are going to be, it's been projected that 150,000 are going to leave Victoria, in the near future and so forth. Catherine Cashmore put out, in one of her tweets that, it may not be as evident that there are New South Wales people going up to Queensland. There's a lot of Victorians, but there's a lot of houses, a lot of property for sale in Victoria, and that seems to be rising a lot faster, and therefore it's putting a downward pressure on property prices. So maybe the New South Wales, the New South Welsh people can head down south. But then again, do you really want to live in Victoria? Is the other question. But the way the weather's been up here in the mountains of late, Martin, I've been wearing a jumper, just about every morning for the last week. So it may be maybe a promising place to go to. If the weather patterns keep on changing the way they are.
Well, you never know what's going to happen next. Christmas Day was hot. next 2 days, really cold, and even colder today. Who knows? And there's a really interesting article that we should just talk about before we finish tonight, right? The metaverse is, coming in. So, of course, what you need in this virtual real estate environment is a virtual real estate agent, of course.
Well, look, I'm putting my hand up. I'm putting my hand up for that, Martin. I just want to know who the regulators are going to be, and how I can obtain the license. But I was watching the Joe Rogan videos, and as I do regularly, this came up Snoop Dogg, one of Snoop Dogg's fans, has paid $450,000 to become his metaverse neighbor. I mean, shit, man, prices are hefty enough as it is in the real world, and the metaverse is already, prices of real estate, virtual real estate, is already going crazy as well. I mean, what do we need to do in order to make it go the other way?
Well, the point, of course, about all of this is that various digital assets, and there are people flogging digital assets all over the place, right, is a whole new frontier. So guess what? There's a lot of people on one side of the equation making a lot of money, but I'd make the point that for everybody who makes a profit on these virtual digital things, somebody's losing on the other side, right? It's a net sum game by definition, which gets to me to say, well, be a bit careful about this stuff. There's a lot of hype. It's a bit like, people selling real estate on the moon, right? One day you'll be able to build there, but not yet.
No, well, look, it is interesting how taking people's mind. We were talking the other day with a colleague, and we were talking about, should things go the way that the worst case scenario for 2022, and we were starting to compare the assets. What do we need to have? Because after we watched this video with the Joe Rogan in regards to the meta world, the metaverse world, and how things were just going, in cryptocurrencies and so forth, and gold came into the conversation as well, and silver came into the conversation as well. Look, and at the end of the day, I just thank God that Dusty and I, and Evan, we started to produce our own veggies, because at the end of the day, you can't eat a brick, and you can't eat the mortar, you can't eat the your crypto, or you can't eat the gold, and it'll be hard to trade if you really went really really pear shaped in the next year or two, money was worthless. How are we going to trade? That was the question. I mean, look, I don't profess to have the answers or the answer. I'm just sort of thinking aloud. But there are certain things that that people need to keep in mind and be mindful of, particularly with these issues and the articles and the videos that you've been putting out about negative interest rates and the issue around that, and what the Fed's doing and what it's not doing, more to the point, what it's not doing to maintain a stability and a sustainability for people's livelihoods. It just seems like the rich are getting far richer, and the middle class are getting poorer, and the poor are absolutely being decimated over the last 2 years.
Well, I suspect we'll end up with some sort of barter system for a lot of people, because essentially if the value of money is eroded and devalued, that tends to be what happens. But yeah, you're right. If you look at the distribution of wealth in Australia, or worse still in the US, it's absolutely skewed. There's a small proportion doing really, really well. But of course, the central bankers are so closely aligned with the small proportion of those people who are doing really, really well, that you've got to ask the question, so who are actually central bankers really looking after, right? And they've got this mandate to, maximise the wealth and prosperity of everybody. But in fact, what they've done is they've concentrated wealth ever more into a smaller proportion of the total. And everything they do with their, various levers that they can pull with interest rates and other things too, and quantitative easing, has just given asset prices a further kick up, Great if you're holding a lot of assets, I guess. Great if you're holding a lot of stocks and shares and other things. But what if you're not? And then I come back to look at the statistics in Australia and see that there's a massive proportion of people who have no assets. You know, they might have property, but it's highly mortgaged, and that's pretty much it. They've only got savings for a few days or a few weeks, and that's it. You know, that is where the truth lies in terms of the distribution of wealth in Australia. There are a small number of people who are actually doing very well. And then, of course, people like Domain spend all their time writing about the top end of the market. You know, the $42 million apartment over here and the $28 million apartment over there, as though that's the sort of the centre of property, which it absolutely is not. So we've got a really big issue, because not only have you got central banks focusing on the, you know, affluent top end of the market, but most of the media does too. So we're not getting a fair, balanced view of what's really going on.
No. And then you've also got, if you look further afield, you've got the rental side of things. And yeah, there's close to a million rental properties in Greater Sydney and New South Wales. And you've got all the people that have been pushed out of those homes further out into, you know, or into smaller dwellings, or in basically into dwellings that don't really cater for small families and haven't been maintained, you know, with all the issues that you and I talked about over the last few years. Mm. With the issues not only in the construction, the high-rise construction, but also maintenance issues with the old derelict properties that have been rented out. And of late, the stories that have come out with regards to what renters have had to put up with, potentially living in tents, in temporary tents, or in their cars, you know, in waiting for accommodation, not being able to rent a property. And you know, we were reading a story yesterday with regards to the amount of pets that are being put up for adoption. Once again, I mean, you know, over the last 2 years, you couldn't get you know, we were lucky to get Evan and Dusty a year ago. We were trying to get cats for almost 6 months, and then one of our Twitter followers and a friend, had a couple of stray had a stray cat that had a litter, and were able to get Dusty and Evan from that. But now you've got the reverse of the lack of pets that we had before. Now you've got pets being put up for adoption left, right, and center, and not being accommodated for. Why? Because the main reason was because the renters are unable to get accommodation that are allowing for pets, which is absolutely insane. So all these issues that are going around, but unfortunately, look, as much as I'd like to be a little bit more positive as to 2022, the positive aspect of for me for 2022 is that we've been preparing for 2022, 2020, 2021, or this year was going to be the launch pad for all the issues that we're going to be facing in 2022, and I hope that our followers and our viewers have been preparing alongside of us. I know those that have DM'd me are and continue to do so, and they've shared tips. Some have even shared their potato seedlings with me, Martin, so as I can start planting potatoes and everything else. So yeah, it's just one of those things, and unfortunately we just don't see, or I don't see the government putting anything of positive into the or coming up with a positive way out of the issues that we're facing. It's short-term interests, short-term solutions, but it almost about long-term benefits to the select few.
Well, that's right. And over the last couple of weeks, I've had a couple of people on the show, including a guy from Macro Business the other day, talking precisely about this, the fact that this whole thing is very distorted. So effectively, you know, a small proportion doing very well, but a lot of people not. The consequences of that means that we could end up with another 10 years of no growth and stagnation and basically another lost decade. And, you know, everything that I'm seeing from a political sense and from an economic sense suggests that that is actually how this is going to play out. So, you know, my sense as we come into 2022 is that we should be continue to be cautious. There is still a great risk that the stock markets will come back, and they come back quite a long way. There is still significant unknowns with regard to how the COVID variations and variants will actually play out. You know, don't know what that's going to look like. But there are also a bunch of other uncertainties that are clearly there, including China and its relationship with Australia. So wherever you look, you see uncertainty. And I guess the sort of the bottom line is what you're saying, which is, you know, you've got to take personal responsibility to try and bolster your own, you know, environment and position, and perhaps some, you know, take some steps to make sure you've got enough resources to be able to, you know, keep things together if things go a bit pear-shaped. So I'm afraid that's that seems to me to be very good advice, and that's something we're certainly doing here. I'm very well stocked up on now with some of the plugs and things I need to keep the studio going, right? Because I had great trouble earlier in the year just getting any to do what I needed to do. So, you know, we're trying in our small way to make sure that we can continue to do what we do. Boy, is it going to be an interesting year, right? And I remember we said a year ago, you know, that 2021, when everybody was saying, oh, no, it'll be a great year, 2021. We said, oh, hang on, there's a few question marks, right? Well, we proved to be pretty much right, I think, about that. So I'm afraid we're going to do same again, only more so.
Well, that's right. Unfortunately, it is what it is. And, you know, things are, it almost seems like a revolving door. And you've got further issues with, you know, going back to China with now the plague. They're not only having to face the COVID variants there, but also now you've got an outbreak of the plague of all things, bubonic plague that appears to be that, as it's people are picking it up from the fleas from the rats and the mice that have just infested this city that it's in lockdown, and it's going to have major disruption issues with regards to the chips around globally. Now, not only that, but we also got now Russia, Russian, issues with Ukraine and all the political and rumors of war and everything else that's going on there. So there's so much that's just about to to give. It seems like we're on a short fuse, but I guess what we need to do for 2022 is look forward to continue to build our community, continue to build a strong support group and network and community, and that's the pretty much the tip of the week. Is reach out to somebody that you know is going through this festive season that's on their own, that are alone, reach out and build, because some of these people that are on their own that could be of great benefit. You yourself will be of a great benefit to them and a great encouragement to them, in the lonely state. But you never know. These, I'm meeting some old timers around the mountains as I go out and fossick for second-hand materials, go to recycling yards around the mountains. That they've also been, watching me, helping my son in terms of helping him renovate his property, and the neighbours have come around, and some of these older folk around the area, come up and giving me some great tips with regards to, how to preserve, how to maintain, how to keep, materials, and where to get, recycled materials for a lot cheaper, and also a lot cheaper than buying new and better timbers and better materials in some aspects as well. So yeah, reach out to those that you think are alone, and because you'll be a great source of encouragement, and you never know, you might be tapping into a great source of knowledge, wealth of knowledge yourself as well.
Well, that's good advice there. Well, then I must say, you know, I've gone through a very, very dark patch over the last couple of weeks, as you'll be aware. But it's been amazing the number of people via social channels and direct channels who've actually reached out to me. And, you know, I just want to acknowledge all of those in the communities on our various channels. It really has made a huge, huge difference to know that there are people who actually are caring about what's going on and are concerned about what's going on. Makes a very, very big difference, because you don't feel quite so isolated and on your own. And I think that's a really important object lesson. And, you know, one of my takeouts is going to be to try and make sure that I reciprocate and, you know, turn it around the other way and help other people. Because it seems to me that what we have to do is we have to build a community of trust and a community of support. Can't rely on the government to do that. It's got to be down at the grassroots level. So for me, that's the takeout for next year.
Oh, definitely. And that is a way to move forward in 2022. It's not all doom and gloom, or as people say that, you know, I'm a bearer of bad tidings every year. It's not that. It's just being a person that can foresee things that are going to come and trying to get people to prepare. So yeah, moving forward in 2022, I think it's that community spirit, that local community, as you said, Martin, that extended family, if you will, through our social platforms and those of like mind that reach out. And I'm sure that that's one of the many ways, and one of the strongest ways of getting through 2022 is through that support structure and network. And I commend you for what you've done, for what you've shared and diligently share over the years, and this year in particular, as you and I've had our off rent discussions and chats, and I've said to you, did Lord Martin, where do you get the time to do 3 or 4 videos a day sometimes that you putting them out? And but looking at what you've gone through and how you've kept yourself busy, focused in that in order to cope with the experience that you've just gone through and you've just recently have gone through. But at the same time, in that, you've given out so much to the greater community. And I want to say thank you as the last show for this year. And I hope that we can continue to do it again in 2022 and be of greater support to our followers and our WeChat chatterers, our Twitterers and Kryptonians and all those that follow us. Thank you for following us, and thank you once again, Martin, for your strength, your dedication, and your devotion to the program.
Well, thanks, Edwin, and I just want to say to all of the communities, thanks for your support and for all your encouragement. And I think we've got a pretty special thing going on here around what we do, and we're going to continue to do that next year. It's actually been a lifeline for me this year to be able to continue to make these shows with you and other people who come on the channel, and to help people. And again, I keep receiving lots of messages from people who've learnt a lot and have made better decisions because of what we've been talking about. And for me, that's a really important positive outcome. So we'll do more next year. Have a happy new year in the meantime, and I look forward to picking up the WeChat chat chatters and the numbers and all the other things this time next week in the new year.
Oh, definitely, definitely, we'll be here, and hopefully we'll finish the fish pond, and we can show the viewers the finished product.
Yeah, just watch out for herons. See you later.
See you, man.
Bye bye.